Well, that's very strange.
No, it's I told you about this.
I know, but maybe publicly distributed. So, like, they'll have, like, us talking on the phone in an ad for some phone...
No, this is like the Linguistic Data Consortium at the University of Pennsylvania.
We'll be on the Internet!
Maybe.
Yes, well, but they're kicking people off the Internet these days anyway.
More than likely what we will be instead is, in fact, you know, in somebody's PhD presentation.
Yes. What did these people talk about in the first place?
And why are they native speakers of English anyway? Well, because they were born here and their parents were sufficiently pro-American to only teach them English as children.
That's right.
Too fucking bad, too.
Well, look, I mean, it wasn't the time to be learning Russian.
Tell me about it. I'm the one who for years made the comment when people would say, well, how come you didn't learn Russian? And I would say, well... You know, you remember Joe McCarthy? Well, that's when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I got enough of the why don't you go back to Russia where you came from crap from Danny Kemper and rest of them. I mean,
it's amazing how many people have said that to us. But,
yeah, it certainly is, isn't it?
Well, I mean, Trevor, we were at a New Year's Day party and Trevor came upstairs 5 minutes later and said that kids were being mean to him and they called him a wolf man. And like, you know... We can't figure out how in 5 minutes can they figure out that his hairy arms bother him more than anything else. We don't know. We just don't know.
No, that's an odd mystery.
Well, I mean, we figure he goes in with an attitude of, I want to be the boss, and nobody else likes that, so they, you know.
Yeah, right.
I mean, what else can we assume? I mean, to some degree, he also goes in with an attitude of, well... I'm going to be tough here, you know, I'm going to stand up to whatever there is, so naturally, the other people throw as much as they can at him.
Right.
So, poor guy.
Yeah.
He was so funny. This was the day that Christmas, the last day of school before Christmas vacation.
Yeah.
Well, he's on the bus with somebody, you know, and this buddy looks a little like Paul McCartney to Trevor. Having seen the Beatles anthology stuff. So
right.
Trevor likes to tease him and call him Paul. Well, Mark had had enough of this, so then Mark brings up the sore subject with Trevor that Trevor had traded away an early Magic card that he was given by his father, you know, before Trevor really cared enough to realize, gee, I shouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm.
So then Trevor gets mad at Mark and says, I'm going to kill you and bury the remains where your parents can't find them. Now, this seems perfectly acceptable to me.
Standard kid threat.
I know. The bus driver gets the wind up and says, I'm going to report you. You can't talk that way, blah, blah, blah. And so Trevor says, and a Merry Christmas to you, too. but it gets better. So he gets to school. And I don't know if he's first, you know, has his hair combed backwards by his teacher, but he ends up in the principal's office where he is sufficiently obtuse, disrespectful, and arrogant so that the principal herself, as he says, grit her teeth and started yelling at him and said, you ruined my day. You know, it was the last day before. You ruined my day. And now you have to write me a letter of apology, too. So then... He writes her a letter of apology, and in it he says, but you know, I really don't think you should yell at kids because it could scare them.
Your rotten punk son, for whom I have less than total admiration, actually seems to have done reasonably well, considering that he started out by being an asshole about it.
I know. I mean, you know, but it's like the poor guy. I picked him up at school, and he was, like, in tears, so... I took him back to the bookstore, and I let him shelve books, and that built his ego right back up again.
Uh-huh.
But so yesterday, needless to say, he was nauseated at the prospect of going back to school.
Well, many of us are.
Yes. I know. As somebody was saying to Asenath Weaver, her son said, you know, I mean, do most kids feel, is it weird to feel sick or scared or depressed about going back to school? And she said, I think you were weird if you didn't feel depressed about going back to school. So anyway, so they're all back, and thank goodness.
Right, day jail.
Oh, yeah, day jail. They definitely need day jail with those of their kind. I mean, really, I've taken all the burp and fart and sex jokes I can stand. I mean, every time you use the words do it now, Trevor goes, ew! And finally, yesterday, I said, enough with this. I don't want sexual innuendo even from a 10-year-old. Knock it off. I don't want sex brought up every time you use these two words. So he's not pleased with me, but...
Tough shit.
When is he ever?
Tough shit anyway.
Yeah. So, but I mean, really, it's like, oh, gosh. I mean, he practically... And he got it from this other little boy who's his best friend, you know. So it's like, obviously, it's a very normal part of their development. I understand that. It's just, I'm sorry, I don't want to hear it anymore. You're just going to have to say it to other kids and leave mom out of it.
It's boring.
Yeah. Well, it's winter. It's January. It's going to be ugly.
I suppose that's true.
Yeah. Well, the only exciting thing is that Scott's going to sneak down to Florida and surprise his mother on her 60th birthday.
Oh, well, good for him, I guess.
Well, he feels that something is required of him. And he finally figured out that he could fly in and stay with a science fiction friend, and so no one would know that Scott had come. And his friend could pick him up at the airport and take him over to wherever the parents would be, and Scott could just basically walk in the door. And so that would be good. That would be the big surprise.
Yeah, that sounds moderately civil.
Well, see, he realized he couldn't tell his father because his father would confess in a minute.
Yeah, right.
He couldn't tell his brother because his brother's sense of, you know, his brother is a boaster, basically. So he would have told.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get the concept. I'm just thinking, okay,
yeah.
Well.
So that's about the only thing we have planned, you know. It's like. There's nothing happening till March or April.
Oh, well, there might be something before then, but you never know.
I know. I don't know. We'll just sort of wait.
Well, I had the most interesting conversation the other day with your son.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was working.
Yes. Basically, I called up, and I didn't know that the computer part had shown yet,
mm-hmm.
although I was kind of fishing for that, too, as information. But there was some other reason I phoned up, and I don't remember what it is at the moment. But anyway... And he came on and basically said, so, my new computer. And I went, no. What do you mean it's not mine? I said, it's not yours. It's for your mom. Oh, well. this whole, you know, it's like, I mean, I don't care what you do with it. You know, yours is yours. You can let him play with it when it's all put together. I don't give a shit.
Well,
but
yeah.
That wasn't my plan.
Well, I told him, look. If there are three computers in the house and three people in the house, I'm sure we'll all manage to be happy. And that kind of, okay.
Well, I'm not sure where, I mean, I guess if you count the laptop, there will be three.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly countable. And,
well.
I mean, the other thing's still chugging along.
Yep.
So.
Anyway, the other half of the kit arrived here yesterday.
Oh, good.
And I spent a good part of the evening screwing around with things, and it's a most entertaining.
So what did he do to it anyway?
Well, what he did was he had bought himself a Gateway 2000 386,
mm-hmm.
okay? And Gateway 2000 is this outfit out in North Dakota, and... They're a little more straightforward about, look, you know, screw this hole into this screw here, this will do that, you know. I mean, they actually tell you how things go together,
uh-huh.
which is kind of nice. Anyway, apparently he went to trying to put in a newer, more powerful CPU chip. And in fact, what came with this kit that he sent me is a Cyrix chip that says 486-386 on it. And what it is some sort of slow 486 that will go into a 386 motherboard and work.
Oh.
Now, supposedly, he fucked something up and nothing would work. And yet, so what happened last night when I first was tearing things apart is I basically took lots of the useful small parts or subparts out of his box and stuffed them into mine, which is what I'd wanted to do with some of them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Things like the CD drive. No, you're not getting that.
No, I know. That's not a big
deal. But it turns out that, ironically, this 386 box of his has 8 megs of RAM, and when I booted up his hard drive, having moved it into my 486 box,
mm-hmm.
it won't do much of anything. That is to say, it'll come up in MS-DOS, which I can't work in any event anyway. I mean, I don't understand, and I don't want to understand. It won't come up in Windows. It says, not enough room. Because I only have 4 megs of RAM in my 486.
Oh, boy.
So, well, there's room to put more RAM in mine. It's just, you know, spend more dollars. So what I'm probably going to do today, tomorrow, since I have very little work this week anyway, is temporarily at least put the hard drive and the floppy drives, one of each size, back into his box and see if things will simply function. Because it appears that, I mean, having just booted his machine up, having installed the CPU chip, it comes up and then it says, well, no diskette. No, you know, diskette failure. Well, because there's no disk drive even in the box right now.
Yeah.
So if I put back into his box 2 diskette drives and his hard drive, all of which drive off one controller card, it's probably the case that I can make his box function, and I will, you know, play around with that and see if that's the case. At that point, it's kind of an interesting question of what do I do, because I want to give you hard drives, but I possibly want to keep his hard drive and give you a different one. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Also, one of the hard drives I have here has stuff which absolutely must be purged and hasn't been purged yet.
Mm.
Linda's stuff.
Yeah.
You know, lawyer confidential stuff.
Right.
Anyway, once that's been purged and once I've figured out making this box work and also stealing from it all of the stuff I want to steal from it. Well, it's true, you know. I still expect to be able to send you a box which, when plugged into the color monitor that's there, and you need a keyboard, you don't need a – we got you a keyboard.
Well, you got me a keyboard.
Yeah, so I believe that all you need to do is plug the keyboard in, plug the monitor in, plug everything into the wall, and turn it on. It should be the way it will be, at which point you will have a machine with Windows, MS-DOS, Word for Windows, you know, stuff.
Yeah.
Or maybe WordPerfect. I'm not sure. You know, he sent me a whole bunch of the diskettes. I mean, I have all of the official software, but I'm going to probably hang on to the actual diskettes. I will just load it all to make sure you have it. You know,
mm-hmm.
install the software and make it be functional. You'll have a mouse. You know, you'll be able to do the whole routine.
Hmm. Well,
so
you're trying to get Windows for yours, right?
Oh, I have it now.
Oh.
I mean, part of what ended up happening is I bought from Linda a used machine, which is a 286-386 hybrid. It's a 286 board with a 386 upgrade insert card.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I could send you that machine tomorrow, practically, and you could plug a monitor in and go.
Uh-huh.
But I was thinking to try to give you a better product, that is to say, this machine of Michael's.
Well,
I mean, in either case, you'd end up with, you know, a machine, 386 or better, and, you know.
Which is light years away from what we have anyway. So.
Yeah, well, if this 486, 386 CPU is really working, this at least brings you to the early 90s. Well, I mean, you know, it's all silliness anyway.
I know.
I mean, Windows 95 is about Macintosh 89, you know, as far as ease of use.
I still only have a car from the 70s, so, like, you know, having anything from the 90s is a cheap thrill.
Well, there's that, but also it's a thing of there's enough physical room in this box for you to throw a CD drive into it pretty easily, as in, you know, pop the case, slide the thing in place, drop the card in place, wire everything up, which is, I mean, it's really easy.
Well, I think Steve could do that for us.
I could talk you through it on the phone. You could do it.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
And the point is, and for that matter, actually, the newer CD drives are better anyway. I mean, this, you know, faster seek time, blah, blah, blah,
right.
Faster transfer rates, all that. Well, here's something you might find entertaining. When I was in L.A. a week or so ago, you know, randomly looking in the local papers, there was an ad from, I don't remember which place, you know, bring us your C41 color print film to be developed and printed. $8.99 for 24 exposure, $12.99 for 36 exposure. Includes prints and floppy disk.
Floppy disk.
Floppy diskette. Throw the floppy diskette into your computer and look at your pictures on the screen.
Huh.
Or make an 8.5 by 11 color print on your color printer.
Huh.
Or take the appropriate software, which you'd have to buy from somewhere else, and brush out digitally your mother-in-law from the picture.
Oh, God.
But the point is, for under $10, you not only have the negatives, the 3.5 by 5 prints, you have the floppy diskette you shove in the machine.
Wow.
Yes. You know what that means? That means that Bozo here, me, can turn around, take that thing, shove it in the machine, do whatever tricks it is to you know, enlarge, incredibly large, and figure out where on that negative is the load limit, you know, lightweight, capacity, et cetera, of the boxcar, and read it, you know, without having to screw around with getting out the, you know, the slide projector and the screen and setting them up and then walking up, you know, not in the shadow of it, but, you know, I mean... It's better.
Yep. Yep, it is.
And you can make a print of it with your color laser printer or your color whatever.
Yeah.
And since obviously if it's on a diskette, you can walk into Kinked Copies
and
have them do it.
Yep. So if there's something you'd really like, a very high grade quality copy,
right,
you can get somebody to do just that one.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yes, way gnarly.
Yeah.
Raw. Awesome.
Groovy.
Well, think of it this way. Mother has lived through, Granddad did glass plates when she was a kid.
Oh, really?
And we're now doing dye sublimation printing. Mm. You know, it's like darkroom is over.
Yeah. Well, you live long enough, everything changes.
Well, I know, but I mean, some things last a long time.
Yeah, that's true, but in this century, nothing seems to have.
Yep, well, it's geometric. I mean, Joseph was making some comment about some particular antibiotic, and, you know, they've just found a strain of something that it won't touch either, and it was the last one that would.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
I know. I mean, that's what I was reading in those various books last year.
Yeah, I have to get that thing back from David Morris. He's, I guess, just finished the Laurie Garrett book.
It's very long. It's very complicated.
Oh, yeah. Well, I that's why I wanted to own a copy rather than worrying about it. Oh, own about. Let's talk about dollars while we have this handy.
Uh-huh.
I think that the official deal was supposed to be Mike is supposed to get two bills plus whatever it cost them to ship this crap, which I would guess is about $250. No one has told me anything other than that. I am assuming, since I'm keeping, if not half of it, close enough to half
yes,
of it.
Yes, you don't know what you're keeping.
Well, I'm keeping what is de facto some of it.
Yeah.
That I will spring for half of it.
Okay.
So at some point you should send him some money when he asks. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he's taking his time. I guess we can.
Yeah. I mean, he's Mr. Procrastinator. It's clear.
Yeah.
And you know, my general comment to people is, hey, he loves her. He doesn't hit her. He does treat her well. She thinks he treats her well. What the hell else do we want?
Yeah, look, I mean, there's some people who are late for dinner all the time. Big deal.
Oh, well, I stepped in an incredibly huge pile of shit when I was in L.A.
Was that this business of you were going to go and be, like, wasn't that this gal who used to live here who was visiting her relatives here, Molly?
Oh, no, that was fine. Mal and Jane and Joseph and I had a wonderful brunch together, and that was just fine. No, it was later the next evening that Linda and Morgan and Joseph and I were going to go see 12 Monkeys, which is, by the way, quite funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's Bruce Willis, but it's a Terry Gilliam movie, so it's more like Brazil and less like Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Oh, I just hate Bruce Willis, and I like Die Hard with a Vengeance because I like blowing things up.
You know,
things blowing up.
This is one of two movies I've seen him in which I think he did okay. I thought he was okay in Pulp Fiction.
Well, that's what everybody says. I mean, I think he basically, I just don't like him. You know?
I mostly don't like him either, but he did okay in this movie. He plays... I mean, he's a believable character, which is, after all you really ask.
That's really.
Anyway, we were supposed to meet for that, and Linda is legendarily apunctual.
Uh-huh.
And I told her the movie was 7:20 instead of 7:40, thinking to build in a little time.
Yeah.
And she got there at 7:40. And I let the cat out of the bag, and she was not pleased.
Oh, dear.
So, well, you know, I don't think she's written me off for life, but she was very pissed that evening. Very pissed. So it was like, okay, nothing I can do now.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, well, you know. I mean, if I have ruined the relationship for life by one act like that, then it's a ruined relationship anyway, and who cares?
Yeah,
you know?
I know. I mean, the thing is that, well, one, you know, Scott's best friend, Alan, is notorious for being late. And so Alan and Scott would often agree to meet at some corner in the city or something. And, like, you know, Alan would routinely be an hour late, you know, right? So Scott... decides to, they're going to meet at a certain time, and Scott shows up an hour late, and Alan was still 45 minutes later than that. And I
yeah.
mean, Scott just takes it like, oh, yeah, that's Alan. And
well, right, and I mean, I, you know.
It's just that I guess if it's a sore subject, I mean, it can be a sore subject for some people. That's the thing is, at one time, Alan was dating a nice gal who just, it drove her crazy that he didn't show up when he'd say he'd say he would. And, I mean, there was this one time that Ellen didn't show up when she was supposed to. I mean, and I don't mean she was 5 minutes late. I mean, she was 3 hours late. And she never really, ever really explained what the hell she was doing.
Well, you know, part of it for me, in fact, goes back to stuff from when we were kids. Mother would do this wonderful routine of, here, you go in the people's, I'll circle around the block instead of trying to find a place to park. I'll be back soon by the time you're out. I'd be out in 7.5 minutes, and 15 or 20 minutes later, Mother would reappear from whatever mysterious place she had been to or whatever mysterious traffic jam. And it's not that I think Mother was doing something weird. You know, it's not like I think she went off to the bar and had a drink.
No.
It's much more... But, you know, when you're 5, 6, 7, 10, whatever.
You know, she abandoned us all the time. I mean, what about me? I was on the Pick Temple show at WTOP, and every other parent stays there the whole time. My mother leaves me to go pick up my father. The show's over. There I am with a little grocery bag full of things, including melting ice cream, I'm all alone at the door, you know, like.
And where's Mom?
And where's Mom? Yeah.
Lost in Maryland.
Well, I mean, but it's so, like.
Well,
it's
right.
So weird.
She did that shit to us all the time when
yes,
we were
she did.
Kids.
And back then, it wasn't considered to be like child abuse, you know.
Well, no, it was just, you know, weird behavior, and it's always pissed me off and made me crazy. I mean, you know, more than a dozen times, Linda and I have met at a particular music place in the city, and I've. You know, by now I've got the concept. I just leave her ticket with the people at the door, and I go in, and I sit at a table, and she gets there.
Yeah.
And she hears the music, and that's fine. And, you know, it took me several iterations of, so let's try to meet at 7 o'clock when they let us in, and, you know, she strolls in at 7:45, and it's like, okay, and the music starts at 8. Well, you know, I long ago learned by now, yeah, you go in at 7 when they open the doors, you grab a good table, you plunk your backpack on the chair for her, and you sit there and you have a drink.
Yeah, okay.
You know, in my case, a Calistoga with a twist of lemon, but whatever.
Yeah.
And it just annoys me because it's one of those crazinesses of hey, folks, you know, I understand how to deal with this for me, but I wish you wouldn't be so tweaked about it. And at the same time, it obviously, it does go back and punch a bunch of my buttons from before, because when I'm standing there waiting, it's like, okay, what does this all mean?
Yeah, I know.
And on some level, it's not like I really think I'm going to be stood up, but obviously on some level I do.
Yeah, but it's just this feeling of, well, why isn't she coming? You know?
Yeah, right. Where are they?
I know. And it's so, I mean, one of the nice things about Scott is that he's not so broke that he can't afford a pay phone call. I mean, you know, so he'll always call you from where he is.
Yeah, well, that's one of those funny things where I have never understood people who don't do that.
Well, but, you know, Mother's attitude always was, well, you know, why spend the dime? Just get home.
And
so
my
I
attitude,
call a lot of the time, and it upsets everybody because I'm too cheap to call.
Yeah, and my attitude is it's a military thing. You check in with the base. You let them know you're running late. You let them know you're running early. You let them know it can't happen. You let them know whatever it is.
Yeah.
You call in and you make it clear. And, I mean, I remember, and this is a story I told a number of times, but I remember one time when I was living with Mary Ann down on College Avenue in 71, literally about 25 years ago this month or next month, I guess, something like that. March, maybe, who knows. There was an evening, for some reason, I was running late. I call the apartment to tell her I'm running late. The phone's busy. I finally had the Bell people break the line and make her get off the phone so I could tell her that I was running late. She was, you know, it was like, it's an emergency. What's wrong? I said, there's nothing really wrong. It's just that I told you I'd be home by, you know, 5:45. Here it is. It's 10 of. I've been trying to call you for 20 minutes, you know, to tell you, no, it's running late. Is this cool? You know, blah, 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 whatever, you know, and here's where I am, et cetera. And you're on a goddamn phone. I can't get through to tell you I'm running late. She said, well, it's okay. You'll get here when you get here. And I go, well, that's fine, but that's not my point of view.
For a non-militaristic family, some of us really have that.
Well, you know, I mean, I suppose there is something odd about that. But on the other hand, you know, some of the aspects of the military, be it that or having the entire sheaf of maps that you might need for this campaign. I mean, when Amelie and I were chatting a couple of years ago about a particular train chase in 1970, she remembered the role of maps. And she said it was like a military campaign. You had all these maps. And I went, of course I had all the maps. How the hell else can you find the tracks?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I had the entire collection of USGS maps for the Erie Main Line from, for Christ's sakes, Hoboken to Binghamton, and the Lackawanna Main Line back from Binghamton down through Scranton and back to Hoboken. I had the whole damn collection, you know. 60 or 80 maps or something, you know?
Well, I mean, if you're going to own them, this is the moment to pull them out anyway.
Well, I bought them for that trip.
Yeah.
You know, we bought them for the chase.
Yeah.
You know, I had them. They were in order. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you're gonna spend a weekend,